Shira, Shira, Hallelujah, Shira, Hallelujah, Hava, Hava, Na Shira, Shira, Hallelujah, Shira, Hallelujah, Hava. Ozi, Visim Radya.
Shabbat Shalom. And welcome to our TBS Learner Service. So this morning when I sent out the message that said, casual, come as you are, I did not realize it was going to mean drenched to the bone, but that is how you came, and we are grateful to everyone for coming out in the storm that seems to be okay now. We could even go do worship outdoors, perhaps. So thank you and good evening. Thank you to Brad for the beautiful music starting us off. Welcome to the McLaughlin family who just had a special occasion, naming of Gabriella. So we welcome you here. Welcome to members and visitors. This evening will include running commentary and some discussion on the prayers we say and sing and the experience that we strive to have when we come together for Shabbat worship. It has been said, a camel is a horse that was designed by a committee. Behind this quip is the idea that things are accomplished with more quality and efficiency when they're done by a single person. That when you get too many voices all weighing in and compromises have to happen, that the product comes out in a different and it's implied in an inferior way. Well, this Siddur, this prayer book that we are using, is our people's camel. And I would argue that it is better than it would have been if it had been a beautiful, streamlined horse. And what do I mean? The Jewish prayer book did not come to be because someone or a few people sat down at a table and wrote it. It is kind of like a sacred closet where, over a long period of time, people come and put sacred objects in it, and it keeps getting tucked away, and someone opens the door and puts something new in it and closes it back up again, and this keeps happening over the years. We have in our Siddur, in our prayer book, texts from as far back as the Torah, such as the Shema and Ve'ahavta and Vishamru. We have pieces of poetry from the Psalms, which is later in our Bible. We have prayers here that come from the time of the early rabbis in the early centuries of this millennium. We have Lecha Dodi, which was written by our very spiritual teachers in 16th century Israel. We have other medieval prayers and songs. We have songs and readings from our modern day. We are holding what is like an archaeological site, except that our people has never stopped living and breathing and meditating on these words. There may be lines and language in our prayer service that don't resonate with you, and you may wonder, why are we still reading them? It may be that if we tossed all of this out and we wrote a brand new Jewish prayer book that completely reflected our own time and place and didn't think of God as a king, because why do we care about kings in 2017 America? Or perhaps if the service was set a different way, or if it was totally different every time that we did it, maybe it would seem more modern and now. Would that be better? Would it be worse? What, if anything, does our traditional Jewish service, a patchwork of thoughts and feelings from our past, some in English and some in Hebrew, what does it bring to our modern lives? So keep these questions in your mind as we go through our service. We will have some time for discussing this later on. So one of the many parts of our service that connect us with our ancestors who lived in the time of the temple is the use of music to connect us to God. So verses from the book of Psalms were sung along with instruments in the ancient temple, just as they were when we opened our service this evening. Music can bring us joy and energy. It can put us also in a reflective or meditative mood. And we've had both of these types of music just this evening. So let's continue as we welcome with song our special Shabbat angels. Peace be to you, ministering angels, messengers of the Most High. Shalom Aleichem, page 10.
Malachi Hashare, Malachi Elyon, Bimelech, Malachi Hamlachim, Hakadosh, Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Bimelech, Malachi Hamlachim, Hakadosh, Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Malachi Hamlachim, Hakadosh, Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Goachem l'shalom, Malachi Hashalom, Malachi Hashalom, Malachi Elyon, Mimelech, Malachi Hamlachim, Hakadosh, Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Shalom, Malachi Hashalom, Malachi, Malachi Elyon, Mimelech, Malachi Hamlachim, Hakadosh, Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Tzichem l'shalom, Malachi Hashalom, Malachi Hashalom, Malachi Elyon, Mimelech, Malachi Hamlachim, Hakadosh, Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Mimelech, Malachi Hamlachim, Hakadosh, Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hakadosh, Hakadosh Baruch Hu.
We are about to light and say the blessing for the Shabbat candles. And this Shabbat custom began hundreds of years after the days of the Bible. There was a group of Jews called the Karaites, who believed that Shabbat should be a time when people should only do the very bare minimum of activities needed to survive, that Shabbat should be a day about being deprived. The rabbis of the time did not want Shabbat to be a day that was cold and dreary, so they came up with a rule that one must light candles before Shabbat and say a special blessing, reminding us that this is a day of joy and peace and hope, a precious and uplifting day that gives us a taste of a perfect world to come. So I'd like to call upon Meredith Mizrahi and her family, whoever would like to come up and light candles to bring us some Shabbat light and joy. And we continue on page 12 with the candle blessing, with the candle lighting number 3. And they have to make that long journey all the way up to the front of the room.
Before we take part in an age-old tradition of lighting the candles, let us first take a moment to reflect on the meaning of the Sabbath. All week long, we work hard and strive to excel. Most of the time, we don't even have a chance to stop and look back at our accomplishments. Shabbat is our time to take a break from the rest of the week, to pause and collect our thoughts, to collect the thoughts we've been too busy to think about. Most importantly, Shabbat is our opportunity to become whole in mind and spirit as we take time to reflect on our lives.
Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam asher kedeshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lahalik ner shel Shabbat. Blessed are you, Adonai our God, ruler of the universe, who makes us holy with your mitzvot and commands us to kindle the lights of Shabbat.
Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam Shabbat. Amen.
L'chad Dodi is a song that comes out of our mystical tradition. The Sephardic rabbis who gathered and studied in the Israeli town of Tzfat in the 1500s, called the Kabbalists, looked to connect with God in new ways. They studied the Bible for deeply hidden messages about God. They experienced God and spirituality in nature, and they used romantic images for the way that they saw the relationship between God and the Jewish people. In L'chad Dodi, Shabbat is seen as a beautiful bride that we, the Jewish people, are happily welcoming to her wedding day. It is a tradition that when we get to the last verse, calling out to our Shabbat bride, the Kala, we all stand and face the door to symbolically welcome her into our sanctuary. L'chad Dodi on page
14. Shabbat nikabela, shamor v'zachor b'diburechad, ishmianu el hamiuchad, Adonai echad u'shemo echad, l'shemo tiferet v'likila. Lecha, lecha, dodi, lecha dodi v'krad kala, v'nei Shabbat nikabela. Shabbat nikabela, itorei
We'll soon join together in Barahu, which is sometimes known as the call to worship, because it marks the official start of kind of the meat of our service. We know that it has been said at least as far back as the second century, but it may not have been used to open the service at that time. It may have been connected to the Kaddish. It's interesting that there were fragments of a prayer book found that was used in Israel before the Crusades, and that particular group of Jews did not use the Baruch Hu before the Shema. What they instead did is they said a special blessing, a bracha, that is not done anymore, which was a special bracha for saying the Shema. So before they would say the Shema, they actually would go through Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, blessed are you, Lord our God, who has commanded us to say the Shema. And the first line of the Baruch Hu can literally be translated as, bless God, the one who is blessed. That prompts us to ask the question, how can we bless God? Isn't that backwards? So not surprisingly, there are different theories on that. One is that it is meant more like praise God, acknowledge that God is above or beyond us. And the word barech is the same root as the word for knee. So perhaps we are saying we are bending our knee as one would do so before a king. And maybe this is a sign that that's the correct interpretation, so that issue is solved. But one other possibility is that back in biblical times and beyond, we spoke about God at times as if we're speaking about a family member. We Jews are known to have a pretty familiar relationship with God that includes giving blessings, giving thanks, and sometimes registering complaints, maybe often registering complaints. So with this prayer, we give praise. We acknowledge a greater power in the universe, even greater than electricity. And we affirm our close and our special Jewish relationship with that power. So please rise for Baruch Hu, page 17.
Bye.
After the Baruch Hu, every Jewish service has a reading about creation, an appreciation of our world and the beauty of the natural world. So in a morning service at this time after the Baruch Hu, there's a blessing that is Yotzer Or, a blessing for the beauty of the morning light. And in the evening, we say this blessing recognizing the beauty of the evening sky. Bottom of page 17. Blessed are you, eternal our God, source of the universe, whose word brings on the evening. Your wisdom opens heaven's gates. Your understanding makes the ages pass and the seasons alternate. And your will controls the stars as they travel through the skies. You are the creator of day and night, rolling light away from darkness and darkness from light. Day to pass and bring on the night. You set day and night apart. You are the God of all. May the living and eternal God rule us always until the end of time. Blessed is the eternal whose word makes evening fall. So we will soon join together in the Shema, which is on page 22. And you can see from the picture on the top of the page, if you were not already aware, that this is one of those parts of our service that comes right out of the Torah. And there it is, the Yad is pointing right to the Shema. And the Shema has been very meaningful to Jews from our very earliest years. The entire Talmud, which is the multi-volume collection of hundreds of years of discussion among our earliest rabbis over the first centuries of Judaism, starts at the very beginning of the Talmud with the line, from when may we recite the evening Shema? So saying the Shema properly and respectfully is the very first discussion of the entire Talmud. One reason, perhaps, that it was so important to Jewish leaders at that time is that for centuries, being in relationship with God was about coming to the temple in Jerusalem and offering sacrifices from one's livestock or from one's crops. That very physical experience defined Judaism, and that is what brought us spirituality. A very real question after the temple was destroyed in the year 70 was, can our people survive? Can our relationship with God survive? What are we now that we cannot observe our tradition? So we are always indebted to our brilliant leaders of the time who found texts and teachings from our Bible to help people make that transition into a new and unprecedented time. They helped them see that even without the sacrifices and without the temple and without the priesthood, there are still Jewish values and ideals that can live on in our hearts and our minds and in our actions, wherever we live, wherever we go. The Shema reminded them and us that God and holiness and love are everywhere, that we have access to our highest values in every interaction and every setting. This is just one of the ways that the Shema's words have been so powerful to us through the ages and to our present day. In a note about kind of body, what we do with our bodies during this time, worshipers in traditional congregations sit for the Shema, because it's from the Torah and it's considered Torah study, and often we sit when we study Torah. In Reform congregations, the custom is most often to rise, as if to show emphasis with our bodies how cherished and important these words are to us. So in that spirit, we rise as we join together in Shema on page 22. Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha bechol levavecha uvechol nafshecha uvechol meodecha v'hayu hadvarim ha'ele asher anochi mitzavcha hayom al levavecha v'shinan tam levanecha v'dibarta bam v'shivtecha beveitecha uvlechtecha vaderech uvshochbecha uvkumecha Ukshartam laot al yadecha, vehayu latotafot bein einecha, uchtavtam al mezuzot beitecha, uvish arecha, lama'an tizkeru v'asitem et kol mitzvotai, v'item kedoshim lelohechem, ani Adonai Elohechem, asher hotzeti etchem me'eretz Mitzrayim, lihiyot lachem lelohim, Ani Adonai Elohechem. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Set these words which I command you this day upon your heart. Teach them faithfully to your children. Speak of them in your home and on your way, when you lie down and when you rise up. Bind them as a sign upon your hand. Let them be a symbol before your eyes. Inscribe them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Be mindful of all my mitzvot and do them. So shall you consecrate yourselves to your God. I, the Lord, am your God, who led you out of Egypt to be your God. I, the Lord, am your God. At the heart of Judaism is not only ideas about God, but also the history that shaped us. At every Jewish worship service is a mention of our time as slaves in Egypt and our joyous escape to freedom. This ancient story of oppression has been unfortunately reenacted time and time again over the many centuries. We work to keep our difficult history fresh in our minds, to make us more compassionate to others who may feel this same pain in our own day, and also to retain our gratitude for the blessing of freedom that we enjoy. Mi Chamocha from the Torah is our song of joy, of gratitude, and a reminder of the compassion that we must feel for others. Page 24.
Thank you.
Hashkivenu is a special prayer for protection at night. We join in the singing of Hashkivenu, number 4 on the bottom of page 26. From the Torah is Vishamru, page 27, and if you do not know our special TBS jumping spin on this song, you will figure it out soon.
Shemayim v'et ha'aretz v'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha'shabbat la'asot et ha'shabbat l'dorot ha'merit olam u'vayom ha'shvi'i shavat v'inafash shavat v'inafash Shavar Vaina Pash Vishamru Bnei Yisrael Et HaShavat La'asot Et HaShavat L'dorot HaMerit Olam Vishamru Bnei Yisrael
are about to begin the central portion of our worship service. It is a collection of prayers called the Tefillah that date back about 2,000 years to the rabbis who lived really just after the close of the Bible. This section starts with the prayer Avot V'Imahot, the fathers and mothers, and actually this whole section doesn't end until Oseh Shalom, until after the silent prayer. It's sometimes called the Amida, because that means standing, and we stand, at least for part of it. In traditional congregations, people actually stand through the whole thing, and we stand for the first few blessings of the Tefillah. Tefillah meaning the prayer, because this is considered the prayer. The first line of Avot V'Imahot, which is, Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, and God of our fathers and our mothers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob, God of Sarah, God of Rachel, God of Rebecca, God of Rachel, and God of Leah, is partially from the Torah. When Moses has his first encounter with God at the burning bush, God says to Moses, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So when we say this line, we are brought back to the first time that Moses and God connected with one another. Moses doesn't know what to say or how to act. He only knows that he is in the presence of something great and holy. I believe that we also, when we begin this prayer, are supposed to put ourselves in that spiritual place, as if we are feeling God's presence for the first time. And even though we are the ones saying the prayer, the original line was spoken to Moses by God, we are speaking to God, but through our prayer, God also speaks to us. And we are singing the prelude. This is kind of a line that's supposed to get us in the mood and the spirit to prepare to say this prayer. Adonai Sifatai Tiftach. We're doing the Craig Taubman version of this introduction, and it is our custom when we do this melody that everyone rises when you are ready. Ata Adonai, Eloheinu v'Elohei Avotenu v'Imotenu, Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzchak, v'Elohei Yaakov, Elohei Sarah, Elohei Rivka, Elohei Rachel, Elohei Leah. Ha'el ha'gadol ha'gibur v'hanora, El Elyon, Gomel chasadim tovim, v'kone ha'kol, v'zocher chaste avot v'imahot, u'mevi g'ula li'v'nei v'neihem, l'ma'an shemo b'yahava, melech ozer u'moshia u'magen, baruch ata Adonai, magen Avraham v'ezrat Sarah. Praise be our God, the God of our fathers and our mothers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob, God of Sarah, God of Rebecca, God of Rachel, and God of Leah, great, mighty, and awesome God, God supreme, ruler of all the living, your ways are ways of love. Remember the faithfulness of our ancestors, and in love bring redemption to their children's children for the sake of your name. You are our sovereign and our help, our redeemer and shield. We praise you, Adonai, shield of Abraham, protector of Sarah. The top of page 31. Eternal is your might, O God. All life is your gift. Great is your power to save. In love you sustain the living. In your great mercy you give life to all. You send help to the falling and healing to the sick. You bring freedom to the captive and keep faith with your children in death as in life. Who is like you, Almighty God? Who is your equal, author of life and death, source of salvation? Blessed is the eternal God, the source of life. The bottom of page 32. It is customary to rise three times on one's toes for each of the words kadosh in Hebrew, holy in English. As we do so, we are extending ourselves to feel closer to God. Kadosh, 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 Adonai Tzvaot, Melochol Haaretz Kavodo. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with your glory. You may be seated. The top of page 36. A thought on prayer from Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel. To pray is to take notice of the wonder, to regain a sense of the mystery that animates all beings, the divine margin in all attainments. Prayer is our humble answer to the inconceivable surprise of living. It is all we can offer in return for the mystery by which we live. How strange we are in the world and how presumptuous our doings. Only one response can maintain us: gratefulness for witnessing the wonder, for the gift of our unearned right to serve, to adore, and to fulfill. It is gratefulness which makes the soul great. Together we pray for a world of peace, our vision of Shalom Rav, a great peace. On page 39.
Oh,
145. One lovely aspect of Misha Berach, our traditional prayer for healing, is that we affirm that whether whole or broken, every person matters to us and matters to God. Among those who we pray for this evening, among those who are listed on your service folder every week, we list people we're especially turning our thoughts to, are our members Sharon Drasnin and Pete Holleran, both in Fairfax Hospital this evening, healing from injuries, who both are expected to fully recover. We are very thankful. So our prayer, our Misha Berach, is not only for healing for those who are ill or injured, but also an expression of gratitude that our bodies are resilient, that modern medicine, alongside with our loving support and our prayers and with God's help, can bring us back to health again. Misha Berach. Traditional Jewish prayer service is very structured, and yet always it's traditional to have a space within that service for personal meditation, time for quiet reflection. We do so at this time. Finish our service with our concluding prayers. I'd like to just take a few minutes to ask you for your impressions of a Jewish service. I'm going to play Phil Donahue here with my mic. There's still a few of us over the age of 40 who know who I'm talking about. And how do you feel about the way that we pray as Jews? The Hebrew, the combination of texts and readings throughout time, the fact that all Jews around the world use a very similar siddur, a very similar prayer book to us, the same structure, the same prayers, our emphasis on community. We say to have a formal worship service, we need to have at least 10 adult Jews praying together. How do you feel? What are your impressions, your feelings of a Jewish worship service, which is quite different from the way a lot of other traditions hold their prayer services? So just raise your hand. And thank you, Neil.
Well, first of all, what you suggested was sort of the formula for synagogues and temples, whether it's Orthodox, Conservative, or Reform. So from that perspective, I like that I can go into any synagogue and somewhat feel at comfort. Mm-hmm. What I also like is that within that framework, we have a great deal of creativity and individuality that we can add to it. So TBS is TBS, but we're still very much part of the Reform movement. And I love that about Judaism in general.
So Neil talks about the age-old discussion of keva versus kavanah. So keva is the fact that we do have a fixed structure of our services, but kavanah is the heart and the soul that we must bring to it and that we are to find that balance. Other thoughts or impressions, maybe ways that it helps you to pray, maybe things that interfere with the way that you pray.
Well, I just want to echo what Neil said. I have an opportunity to go to Shabbat services in other cities. I've been up in Anchorage, Alaska, Hawaii for high holidays, and I went to an Orthodox shul in Malmo, Sweden. And the interesting thing about the Orthodox shul in Malmo, like you just said, Neil, was that even though I had no idea what they were doing most of the time because they were going at about light speed, the interesting thing was that the tunes, a lot of the tunes for the prayers were the exact same that we use here, that we used in Ner Shalom when I was over there, that they did up in Anchorage, Alaska. So I always knew approximately where we were in the service. And that was very reassuring to know that there were, you know, Jews, like you said, all around the world, the same format, the same formula. And I kind of like that. It's like you said, it's the community, you know, no matter where you go. So it's very reassuring.
So community is one part for Jews that makes our Jewish prayer service special. I'm glad I have good running shoes on.
So what I like is that we have some Hebrew, and that really connects me to my grandparents and when we went to services when I was a kid, and also to my grandfather, who was much more Orthodox than our tradition and our family, other than in my immediate family, but an extended family, just to be able to know that there's Hebrew that he was saying daily in his prayers and that we have that. But also for me, it's much more important, or it's very important to me that I understand what I'm saying and that it's not just just saying the Hebrew, but actually knowing what it means and being able to think about it. So I appreciate that here.
I think for me, it sort of provides a sense of unity that we're kind of doing the same things as people in Alaska, which is really cool to me that we're connecting in that way when we're not really with each other.
Thanks, Rabbi. For me, a lot of what really makes me just feel so special here and connects for me actually through the whole week is the music. And so a lot of it, I'll find myself midweek humming a song and trying to figure out what song is this? Where is this from? And then I work it, I'm like, oh, of course, it's from here. So it sticks with me through the week and then gets me to the next week.
Jewish prayer has been musical for centuries. So while, you know, it would not necessarily be, you know, at an Orthodox synagogue that we'd have guitar and, you know, there's certain aspects that are more in terms of liberal Judaism, there is certainly chanting, there's singing. I mean, music is definitely part of the spiritual experience for all Jews. Other thoughts? Oh, good. We like outside the box.
There's a certain comfort to coming here. I appreciate the connectedness, but to coming here, and I know I wasn't alone tonight when I walked in. Even on the way over, I said to Rob, I don't know where I'm going to sit tonight. So there's a very specialness about the routine of the prayers and whatnot, but also of just your own space in a very comfortable, special space.
Well, I'm glad I shook you up a little tonight. Can't sit in your regular seat is now carpeting. I guess you could sit on the floor. Mostly what people have talked about is community. And that may be what brings people to worship. And I said in my message that went out this morning, there's no wrong reason to come to services. That services for some might be about connecting to God. For some, it might be connecting to tradition. It might be connecting to values. It might be connecting to other people who sit in your row. So no wrong reasons. Any comments on that? Or are there times maybe where you feel differently? You might come to services one time and it you get hit by one thing, and then another time it's different.
I think the word minhag in the cover of our book sums it up in the sense that this is our book. Mm. Mm-hmm. And we have our own traditions, as some of the younger people showed by standing up. I think that's one of the things that makes it so special here.
Mm. Yeah, so community around the world, but also community within our own congregation. Any other thoughts?
I grew up in a Presbyterian church, and I used to sit in church and be very moved, feeling very spiritual and connected to God. And when I started coming to Temple B'nai Shalom, it hit me when I converted that I was in a Jewish space. I was now Jewish, and I'm praying to the same God I was praying to there. My whole life, it's the same God, but it was in a different context. But for me, my relationship to God, services is a time to set aside spiritual time, to reflect, and it's like sacred time for me. So although I do think about God in everyday life, this is a special place because there's a purpose for my reflection and focus.
Mm. Yeah. Awesome. Anyone else? I had jotted down some notes that I think people pretty much covered. I guess just maybe one additional thing is a reminder that our prayers are written as poetry. So no one here really, I guess Sue mentioned Hebrew a little bit, but there wasn't too much mention specifically of the Hebrew. And when I've had discussions with people about Jewish prayer, there are people who find it connecting and some who feel it's an obstacle because it's a language they don't speak. And there's no right answer or wrong answer to how the Hebrew makes you feel. It's very personal. But something that I always like to keep in mind is that they're written as poems. And poems, a lot of the power of poems is about the sound and the musicality of the language. And that you can find spirituality in Hebrew prayer and Hebrew poetry, even if you don't know Hebrew, because there's a sound and a musicality to it that sometimes can trigger you out of your head. So one thing I think about when I'm in prayer is that I'm not here to read the prayers as if I would read the newspaper for content. I'm here to create an experience for myself. And sometimes I actually think it's more helpful to be surrounded by Hebrew, which I'm not really fluent in, because I can kind of shut the thought part of my brain off, and I can just kind of emotionally be swept away by the sound and the musicality of the language. And so it's just something to toss out, that there's many ways to experience our prayers, our music, and whatever may move you, even for a moment in a service, whatever inspires you, whatever makes you feel connected, that's why you're here. So we will continue with the Aleinu on page 53. Please rise. And you have to wait till we get to the front of the room.
Aleinu l'shabeach l'Adon HaKol, latet gedula l'yotzer breishit, shelo asanu kikoye haratzot, ve'lo samanu k'mishpat ha'adama, shelo samchal keinu ha'em, v'gor aleinu k'chol ha'mon. Anachnu korim umishtachavim umodim lefne melech malche amlachim hakadosh baruch hu v'ne'emar v'haya Adonai lemelech al kol haaretz v'yom ha
You may be seated. The Kaddish is a powerful prayer for us, not so much for what it says. It is a long recital of praises to God, but mainly because of the sound and its poetry. The Aramaic gives it a different rhythm and feel from our other prayers, which are in Hebrew. Back in the times of the Talmud, we read about one phrase of this prayer, Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevarach La'alam Olmei Almaya. The rabbis teach that saying this phrase had power to alleviate suffering and to directly connect with God's compassion. The Jewish people came to cherish this prayer as an age-old poem that has brought grounding to Jews in grief through the generations. And before we read it together, we especially think of these beloved friends, family members, and members of the B'nai Shalom family. During the year of mourning, we remember Don Drasnin, Brian C. Lewis, Bernie Rosemarin, Stephen Kamen, Laura Schick, Leon Bainwall, Carol Lewis, Ruth Margulies. We mourn the losses in the last 30 days of Paul Schreiman, father of Dave Schreiman, Frank Marin, friend of Amy Epstein, our beloved member, Susan Feitelman, wife of Richard Feitelman, Bill Harrison, father of Mark Harrison, and Elaine Friedberg, aunt of Betty Jacob. And we mark the Yahrzeit, the yearly anniversary of death this week, of Sharon Himmel, Florence Golden, Avi Guberman, Margaret Bartachewicz, Sally Hoffman, Herbert Konigsberg, Estelle Retholtz, Lillian Amper, Leopold Hochberger, Betsy Rubin, Merle Smallberg, Benjamin Hurwitz, Trevor Blake, Mickey Katz, and Abraham Perlin. Together we honor their memories with the words of the Kaddish, page 60. Please rise. Yitgadal v'yitkadash shemei rabba, v'yalma divarach irute v'yamlech malchute, v'chayechon uv'yomechon v'chayedecho beit Yisrael, Bagala uvizman kari v'yimru amen. Yehei shmei rabba mevarach le'olam olmei olmaya. Yitbarach v'yishtabach v'yitpa'ar v'yitromam v'yitnaseh. V'yitadar v'yitaleh v'yitalal shmei dekusha barichu. Le'ela min kol birchata v'shirata. Tushbachata v'nechamata. Damiran v'yalma v'yimru amen. Yehei shlama rabba min shemaya. V'chayim aleinu v'yal kol Yisrael, v'imru amen. Ose shalom b'imrumav, hu yaseh shalom. Aleinu v'yal kol Yisrael, v'imru amen.
V'imru, v'imru, v'imru.
From a time of sacred memory to embracing the joy that is Shabbat. And I'd like to ask up anyone who is not yet graduated from high school to come up to join and help lead. I know there are a number of you here. Come on up and join and help lead Kiddush. Gabriella's getting a very early start on learning the Kiddush. All right, let's see. Who wants to hold? There you go. Okay. Page 61. The seventh day is
consecrated to the Lord our God. With wine, our symbol of joy, we celebrate this day and its holiness. We give thanks for all our blessings, for life and health, for work and rest, for home and love and friendship. On Shabbat, eternal sign of creation, we remember that we are created in the divine image. We therefore raise the cup in thanksgiving.
Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Peri Hagafen. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Kishanu B'Mitzvotav Veratzal Banu V'Shabbat Kodesho V'ahavat u'ratzon hinchilanu zikaron l'maaseh bereishit ki hu yom techila l'mikra kodesh zecher letziat mitzrayim ki banu v'acharta v'otah our voices join in songs together as our joyful prayer is said. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you. It's your first time to lead Kiddush. Yeah, you may as well stand up here.
All right. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
I'll see you at Oneg because I can barely see you now. But my name is David Sherrington. I'm the president of Temple B'nai Shalom. So pleased to see everyone here for Shabbat worship. Thank you, Rabbi Rapport, for leading us in worship this evening and study, and really help us understand what we're worshiping. Very interesting. Thank you, Rachel and Rob, for leading us with your beautiful voices of music, which carries me through the week. And thank you, Brad, for helping us get ready for Shabbat with your beautiful music. Please join Rabbi Rapport as she continues her series of life classes in this August entitled Making of the High Holy Days More Personally Meaningful. And so the next session will be on this Wednesday, August 16th. Very interesting sessions, and this one shouldn't be missed. Jumping to some of our social action programming, please help us with our sock collection for the homeless. We're collecting, hopefully, I think is it 1,000 pairs of socks? So everyone needs to bring in several pairs of socks to donate for this very, very good, very good cause. Also, please help LCAC with our back to school supply drive. There are flyers in the lobby. TBS has adopted 11th and 12th graders, so look for the flyer of different school supplies to bring to help those in our community that need that help. On August 23rd, the TBS Social Action Committee is proud to sponsor an interfaith panel discussion, and that's in your service folder, mentioned in your service folder tonight, on what fasting means in various religious traditions. The panel will include members of the Jewish, Muslim, Buddhist, and Catholic traditions, and this event will be open to the public, so we want to have a hearty TBS turnout so we can be there and welcome those from the community. We are ready to start our first official civil discourse forum on August 29th. This is open to all congregants, no matter your political leaning. Even if you did not attend one of the roundtable discussions, you are welcome and encouraged to participate in this very interesting event on August 29th. For all of these events, please RSVP so we can plan accordingly, and the RSVP links can be found in your weekly email. Finally, if you're new to TBS or have any questions or would like more information, members of our board and membership committee would love to speak with you. This evening, our membership committee representative is Jonathan Disler. Jonathan? There's Jonathan, so everyone should say hello to him, but especially those that have any questions about membership, see Jonathan at ONEG. Wishing you all a very restful weekend. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. So we're going to conclude with Ein Kel Eloheinu, which is a pretty common concluding song to a Jewish service. And I want to point out, I just learned today, I thought it was interesting. So each of the verses that we do, it says, there's no one like God. So the four names of God that are used are Eloheinu, Adonainu, Malkeinu, and Moshiyenu, and that is actually the order that those names appear in the Torah. So if you see God's names, that they appear in that order. Ein Kel Eloheinu, page 63. By Abraham Joshua Heschel taught, the primary purpose of prayer is not to make requests. The primary purpose is to praise, to sing, to chant, because the essence of a prayer is a song, and man cannot live without a song. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chuneka. May the light of God's presence lift you up on this Shabbat and throughout the week, bringing a song to your heart and your soul. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.